All right, welcome aboard. It is a Thursday. For me, the week has flown by. Apparently for Matt Shook, he's been trudging along.
Yeah, January has been a long month for me, but just, I don't know. I don't know if it's just the grayness of the weather or something like that or what it is. But yeah, maybe it's the Lions being done. Maybe I missed the Detroit Lions. Maybe that's it.
That couldn't be it. I think you just need a little extra vitamin D.
Yeah, that sounds nice. I should go somewhere warm. Maybe I'll sneak a trip in February. Go somewhere nice and warm. That sounds like a good idea. We'll split it. We'll split my trip. How about that? I'll invoice you for some of it.
This from a guy that used to live in the Caribbean.
Yeah, maybe that's why. I cannot take the winter anymore. And I know, and we all know this winter has not been bad. Of course, there's been a little bit of snow and one big dumping here in January, but it's it's just gray. I sit here by my window in downtown Detroit, start writing, doing some interviews, putting stories together, and it's, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I've got to turn all the lights on in my apartment because there's no sunlight to light up what I need to be working, which is, it's just really sad.
And that is kind of a microcosm or a mirror image of the Detroit sports scene right now.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have to report on this stuff, it's depressing, right? This is the most depressing, potentially depressing decade of sports in Detroit since the 1970s.
Yes, exactly right. I actually wrote that story. I don't know if we talked about it or not, but I wrote a story for the Detroit News at the end of December. I think it must have ran on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or something, and it went tail to tape or broke down. What was worse, the 2010s that we just finished or the 1970s, and there's a case to be made for either one. I will say the 70s were probably worse just because, I mean, it seems like ancient history now, but of course the Tigers had the success in the early parts of the 2010s, and then the Red Wings still had the playoff streak going on for half that decade as well. So, yes, but that being said, the last 5 years or so of this past decade were, maybe if you go from 2015 to 2025, maybe that would be like the worst decade you could imagine.
Oh, my goodness. And I don't even know if it's going to end in 2025 for some of these teams.
Yeah, I don't know, because that's the thing. I'm thinking about the Illich teams, right? The Tigers and the Red Wings at the complete bottom right now, and we think that they're doing the right thing with the rebuild. We might be pretty confident in Steve Yzerman at the controls. We don't quite know what's going on in Tigerland. It's tenuous to have those arms kind of being the big part of the rebuild. You never know how those are going to kind of work out. So you're kind of confident in the method, but you don't know if what they're doing so far with the first couple years of this rebuild is all that good, because is the crop of talent that they have very good? I don't know. I mean, it could be, but that's pretty optimistic to say that this is like the beginnings of a championship level era with these guys. I mean, there's going to have to be some major smart moves and major strokes of luck that come to both of those franchises. And of course the Pistons haven't really fully committed to the rebuild altogether. It seems like there's a chance that they might stick in the middle. And of course the Lions are the Lions in the NFL. You would think that there's a chance that year in, year out, you could always be that team like the San Francisco 49ers that gets in the Super Bowl. But I think we're smart enough to know that's probably never going to happen with this franchise.
I think it was ESPN that just this week put out an article saying that the Lions are poised to be the next 49ers. And I just kind of scratch my head when I see stuff like that, because it's so hard for me to believe in it.
Yeah, I think that in particular, Bill Barnwell of ESPN was writing about that, or maybe talking about that on a podcast. And yeah, if you want to break down some of the elements are the same, and that you think you have a solid quarterback who was hurt for a lot of the year. So of course that affected the record at least a little bit. And then you maybe get a higher draft pick than maybe your team talent dictates. Now, I don't think there's anyone who believes that the Lions are even a middle of the road team this year. If Matthew Stafford was healthy, I think that they were even below that, not as bad as they eventually finished, but, and then they add Nick Bosa in the draft this year, and then suddenly they become a Super Bowl type of team. So, yeah, I mean, you can talk yourself into those kind of elements being a reason that the Lions will be, surely they'll be improved next year. But, you know, there's no scenario where guys like you and I can watch this team for all the decades that we have and say, yeah, this is this is the year that the luck gets put together. I think that when I was a teenager and Barry Sanders was on the team and maybe even some of the years after that, I was that guy talking myself into that sometimes this year or that year. But I think we've learned that there's just something poisonous and something wrong over there, and that's not going to be fixed by Matthew Stafford being healthier than he has been these last couple of years.
Well, I think it's a Michigan tradition in August to talk ourselves into the playoffs, and by the beginning of October, we realize how wrong we were.
Exactly. I definitely agree with that. And then we can at least enjoy our Sundays. Oh, no, wait, now it's snowing, so we can't really enjoy our Sundays that much. But we wasted all those nice August and September and early October Sundays watching these games. And then when the season ends, we don't want to go outside because it's too cold.
Well, it's going to be February on
Happy
Saturday.
New Year, everyone. Yeah. So I know that we're bringing all the good vibes to everyone listening right now. So I'm sure they appreciate that.
And what are we a week away from the NBA trade deadline?
Yes, it is a week from today. So, and it's like a little bit less than a week because I think it's 3 o'clock on February 6th, which is Thursday, a week from today.
Are the Pistons going to get anything done? Is anybody even calling them?
So, it seems like the Andre Drummond stuff is pretty dry right now, right? Because Atlanta backed out. That was the most logical team. And it sounds like someone kind of jumped the gun in early January when Woj dropped the bomb that Atlanta was very interested in, that Andre Drummond was likely to get moved. It seemed like kind of a leverage ploy to leak that information. So the more and more time goes on, the more and more that I suspect that Andre Drummond is going to be not moved. And you know what? If you're only getting offered expiring contracts and only a late second-round pick or something of that equal value, I would actually keep him this trade deadline and figure out a way to move him this summer. Now, he's talking about opting out, so obviously if that's the case, he's a free agent and you don't have to move him this summer. But my suspect, I have always said, even from when he was saying that last summer and everyone was taking it as gospel, I still believe that he is going to opt in to that $28 million deal one more year this summer. And then if you're the Pistons at that point, you try to trade him again after he opts in, and it's not going to be a great return. But I do believe that it's possible that you could get a better return this summer than possibly you could this week. And the reason is because a team like Atlanta, who right now he's an expiring contract in some senses of the word, and he might make their team better, because they're like the worst team in the NBA right now. Well, they're trying to lose. They don't really have a need to get better. But if you go into this summer, you got all those nice young players. You got Trae Young another year under his belt. You got John Collins for presumably a whole season. Maybe Atlanta looks around the Eastern Conference and talks themselves into being a team that could really improve next year and really make a run for the Eastern Conference playoffs. And it wouldn't be crazy to think that. Then maybe they're an Andre Drummond away from becoming the 7 or 8 seed in a team on the rise. So teams that are bad don't want Andre Drummond right now because he might help them, and that hurts them because they're trying to get worse or better draft picks. And teams that are good don't really have easy ways to add a $28 million contract to their books. So there's just not those partners that they might have thought a few weeks ago.
I'm thinking from Andre's point of view and from his agent's point of view. Who out there this summer is going to give him better money than if he takes that last year?
Right, that's the idea, and especially because nobody wants to trade for him right now, that's an indication to me that there's not going to be teams knocking down the door for the Pistons to make a deal. As far as opting out, obviously that means he has to sign a new contract, so it has to be teams that signing, teams with cap room. There's not a lot of teams with cap room out there. There are a few, Atlanta being one of them, Memphis being another, so there are a couple of possibilities in there. But as far as like the $25 or even $30 million contract over a course of 3 or 4 years that Andre might have thought last summer would have brought, I don't think that's going to happen. But that being said, if you opt into the $28 million deal, we know the teams are really excited about the summer of 2021. Everyone's clearing their cap space for another one of those weird reshuffling years like last summer was. If Andre goes into that summer as a free agent after pocketing $28 million next year, he could become someone's plan B or even plan C and still become a very rich man and probably get a 9-figure contract somehow.
You know, last week I think we talked about some of the young kids improving and playing well, although Sekou's kind of taking a dump this week. But Let's talk about some of the veteran guys who I almost feel like they're playing to get traded. Like they want the attention of the rest of the league. Markieff Morris comes to mind. He's suddenly, after sleepwalking through most of the season, been good here for a couple weeks. Rose has been out of his mind, sensational. I can't believe teams aren't interested in him. And even Reggie, in the few games since he's come back, is a guy that if you're desperate, you might take a risk at and bring in.
Yeah, those are all guys that possibly could get something. Obviously, Reggie Jackson's complicated because he makes $18 million a year, so it's very difficult to figure out the salary situation. So I don't suspect that he'll get moved. It's possible, and like you said, he's been playing really well, especially last night in a losing effort in Brooklyn. Derrick Rose is a guy who does have people interested. There are teams interested in him. The question is, are they willing to throw in that first-round pick? That's what the Pistons are asking for, and I don't suspect that it's going to happen. The question then becomes, are the Pistons willing to compromise and take a package of players and picks that aren't, you know, a young player who's not great, a pick or two that's not great, kind of a grab bag of assets that might be enticing? Philadelphia is a team that could put together that kind of offer, but the question is, will the Pistons take a deal for Rose that's not outstanding and that it's kind of good and there's some upside pieces in there? So that's one to keep an eye on. I do think it will happen. I'm of the opinion that Derrick Rose ends up in Philadelphia and the Pistons get two, maybe even three medium-sized assets that could be pieces they could build as part of the future. As far as Markieff, yeah, I could definitely see him getting moved for a mid-second round pick. That'd be a good move for the Pistons to free up minutes for Christian Wood or possibly any other front court players that they acquire in other deals. And then Langston Galloway is another guy to keep an eye on. Hasn't been playing all that well these last 6 weeks or so, but is a guy who can, he plays hard on defense, defends adequately, and has the ability to knock down some shots. So for a contender coming off the bench, he could help too.
And for people out there who are screaming at the radio going, why would you guys want to get rid of Derrick Rose? I'm just thinking about the past and have the Pistons learned from the past. They didn't move Blake Griffin last year when they probably could have gotten something for him. And now they've got a guy with injuries who's not even playing for him. And I just view the same thing. Derrick Rose is not getting younger. He's getting older. I know he's playing like he's a young man right now. But next year will likely be a different story if he's still a Piston. The time to move him is now when he's a hot commodity.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. That is absolutely right, and you never know when that injury is going to come, and it's about maximizing the value of that asset. Now, if someone's listening to the radio and saying, hey, I want to watch the Pistons, and Derrick Rose has been pretty good, and I'm entertained by him, I get that. And that's a totally reasonable argument for a fan to make as far as your enjoyment of watching the team night in, night out, as opposed to maybe the team-building aspect of it. But I would argue that not only is Derrick Rose, he makes you worse, which benefits your team the rest of the way because you get the draft pick. And then the other thing is, when you watch the Pistons last night, and here's the problem I've had with Dwayne Casey and where this team is at right now, look at the box score. You pull it up, especially the first half and into the second half as well. Who's taking all the shots for the Pistons right now? It's Andre Drummond. It's Reggie Jackson. It's Derrick Rose. It's Markieff Morris. And I get that maybe there's a level of showcasing guys for trades, and I got no problem with that. But if we're talking after the deadline and they don't move a lot of these guys, and Derrick Rose is still playing 30 minutes and dominating the ball like he should if you're trying to win, but dominating the ball like he is, not really creating, not really letting guys like Sekou and Bruce Brown and Steve Mikhailiuk have the ball in their hands, try to develop their skills as playmakers and also scorers as well, I think that would be a big problem for this franchise. And my hope is that after the trade deadline, there's a meeting with the coaches and the front office and ownership representatives, and they all kind of say top down that, hey, we got to change the direction and not just say things that imply that we might rebuild, but actually do the things necessary in terms of minutes distributed to certain players, responsibilities offensively and defensively distributed to certain players. And I think that that's a tough but important conversation that this front office and organization needs to have.
All right, tell them about the podcast, Matt.
Yeah, it's an important time for this team, and it's an exciting time for the podcast. We're going Locked On Pistons every day on Google Podcasts. Wherever you get podcasts, you can find us every single day. Locked On Pistons. Got a nice interview today and tomorrow with Vince Ellis of the Free Press. He's got a nice decade worth of bad stories from the Pistons beat, and it was fun to talk to him.
All right, good stuff. And thanks as always.
Thanks, Dennis. Talk to you soon.
All right, we'll talk to you later. There's Matt Shook. He's a weekly feature on the program. Brady Beeden's on the way, too. He's going to hang out for the rest of the show. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back with more of the Dennis Stuckey Show.